Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Radio.com.
Radio.com. All right, welcome back to the 9 o'clock hour. As we're all set to go with Houston Nutt, CBS Sports College football analyst is going to join us coming up here in just a second. A lot of college stuff to get to. Man, we've had a little bit of everything, Dave, so far with college football, from the Urban Meyer coming back and the one-on-one and everybody's got an opinion, to a bunch of new coaches that are really struggling. So let's bring them on. Houston Nutt joins us this morning. Coach, good morning. How you doing?
Hey, good morning.
Hey, thanks for joining us. I know it's been a crazy morning for you. Hey, got a lot of stuff to get to. I wanted to ask you, Chip Kelly, has he lost it as a coach, or has he just got lack of talent with everything going on at UCLA and an 0-3 start? What's your take on Chip?
Well, we all know that Chip, we see what he's done at Oregon. We know that he has a resume, he knows how to coach football. The thing that's tough sometimes is when you take over a program, it's the transition. It's very hard. It's new terminology. It's a new system. It takes time. But, you know, people don't like the word patience anymore.
There is no patience for coaches. Boy, you're right about that.
None.
Should Miami fans feel a little better that LSU just beat Auburn? Should they kind of like forget a little bit about that opening, getting run off the field by LSU?
Oh yeah, they got to forget about that. They got to go forward, get ready for ACC. Don't worry about that. Just take care of what you can control. Control what you can control.
Houston, let me ask you about the Florida State. We got a lot of Florida State fans here, and Willie Taggart is lucky right now. He could easily be 0-3 himself after struggling and just getting blown out against Syracuse. What's your take on Will? I thought Willie had some pretty good talent at FSU, and again, I know, as you mentioned, system. Have you been surprised on how bad they've been up there?
You know, I have been. You know, of course, Florida State, you always expect, you know, that name, the tradition. You always expect a winning team. And so I was surprised, you know, when you watched the first couple of games. I was really surprised at Virginia Tech. I thought that'd be a much closer game. And I even thought maybe Florida State could possibly win that game. But Virginia Tech was so outstanding on defense, did such a good job. And there's just been some problems, you know, on the offensive side. When you watch Florida State, there's been some problems with, you know, sacks and some missed assignments and stuff like that. So, you know, again, I go back to, you know, the transition. It's not easy. It's hard. And sometimes there's coaches that jump in a situation where things are smoother and the transition is much easier. But it looks like there's, you know, there's a few coaches that are really struggling this year.
And let's go a few hours east of there, Houston, to another first-year coach at Florida and losing for the first time in 33 home games to Kentucky. Oh. Are they going to pull out of it this year, or is this a few-year haul for him?
Yeah, that was something. You know, Benny Snell and Terry Wilson of Kentucky just did an unbelievable job of the way they executed. Terry was, you got a quarterback that can run and throw. It always helps. Of course, Benny Snell, we all know what he's about. Put the ball 27 times for 175 yards. You know, Dan Mullen is so good with the quarterback, and I really think that they'll improve. They'll get better. But again, you know, you always expect that side. That Eastern side's been down for a while. You know, Florida and Tennessee, I remember back in the day when I was coaching, they were always at the top and always so good. And you grow to expect that. So I expect it. I expect, Tennessee for Florida to get back. When that'll be, I don't know. There's probably maybe be some growing pains.
Houston, we always have this discussion. Is it more about coaching and system, or is it more about the recruiting and having players, and when they're real good, they can make anybody's system look good? What do you think it is?
I think the latter that you said. I think the lifeline to any program is recruit, really do. I think coaches, the real good ones, will take what you have and do what they do best, especially when you first get into a program. Sometimes I think it's easier for a coach to make the transition, to do what your players do. But the bottom line is you have a philosophy. You know what you want to do. So you go get the players, and it's recruiting, and it's year-round, no question.
Yeah. All right, Houston, who's going to come down to this year? It looks like Alabama and Clemson are always at the top. Is any change that you see from the first few weeks of the season?
I'm anxious to see where Ohio State goes. They look very fast. Dwayne Haskins, the quarterback, is very good. There's a lot of confidence. Nick Bosa on the defensive side has his defense, a real leader on that side. They look so quick and so fast. I don't want to count out Georgia. Georgia looks extremely talented, fast. Kirby's done a good job recruiting. The offensive line looks good, and Jake Fromm continues to get better. I'm going to wait and see. Clemson, Bama, Georgia, Ohio State, and then let's wait and see what happens. It's still early.
Boy, I tell you what, I'm with you on that four, though, early on here. I got to ask you, just as a former coach, and I was curious just to see Urban Meyer. He decided to do a one-on-one with ESPN. What you think just watching that? And like, if I'm Urban Meyer, I'm done. Like, after I'm going back and coaching, the last thing I'm going to do is another one-on-one with ESPN or anybody else. Did that surprise you? What do you think about it overall?
I was probably like you a little bit. I was a little surprised. Probably the best thing that Urban can do right now is just go back to the field, just get locked in with your players and coach. And but I think there's a lesson there. I have three daughters. One of my daughters is a police officer, and she has to do a lot of 911 calls. So I'm very familiar with domestic violence. And so I got a special place in my heart for these ladies. So I think that's first and foremost. There's a lesson to be learned on that part of it. I agree with you. Hey, it's go back to your team and coach, and don't worry about interviews right now.
You think it'll affect the Ohio State season moving forward? As you mentioned, they're one of your top four teams right now.
Yeah. It looks like, I was curious when Urban wasn't there, and it looked like to me they're on automatic pilot, man. I mean, Coach David was the top.
I agree.
But they just went right on and didn't miss a beat, even without their head coach. So saying all that, it just looks like to me they're so talented. I expect them to be there, Jeff.
Hey, Houston, you've been a head coach at a couple of places and have done a lot of recruiting down here in South Florida, where we are loaded once again this year with great high school football players. What was it like coming as an outsider and coming in to recruit? Was it hard to get into the schools? Is it clicky, or are they pretty open to everybody coming down here and recruiting?
They're pretty open. I mean, we always enjoyed recruiting Florida, but here's what we did know, though. The Florida State, Miami, they're gonna have first run at things now. There's no question about that. And so what you try to do is get the best second you can get. Now, there'd be occasion where we may beat Florida or beat Miami where we got in the end, but very rarely. So what you try to do is do a great job of evaluating. And there's a lot of other good teams in there, the UCFs and South Florida's. You would compete against those guys, and they're homegrown in that state, and try to best you can. And we didn't recruit that far as the big numbers because we couldn't make a living recruiting that many, five, six, seven, or eight, not like that. But maybe, one, two, or three.
Right.
We felt like we could get a difference maker, a skill guy, and bring him back to Arkansas or Ole Miss. And so it's just a great state. It's a great state with tremendous talent. And coaches were always good to me, always.
Well, listen, Coach, we appreciate it. We got to keep you on target here today with all your stops. So thank you so much. Really appreciate you coming on. Thank you.
Sounds good.
Thank you. All right. Houston Nutt, CBS Sports College Football Analyst. In the rotation, Dave. We are in the rotation, man.
I was going to say, you hustled them in and out, the car wash.
As soon as they start giving me signals on the phone and everything else, we're ready to go. DQ, what do you have for me?
Houston Nutt is a college football analyst for CBS Sports Network. Catch him throughout the season on Inside College Football. Texas A&M takes on Alabama for the SEC Game of the Week. Saturday at 3:30 Eastern. Prior to game coverage, CBS debuts Four Sides of the Story, Alabama Audible, a live look at Alabama's comeback victory in the 2018 college football playoff national championship game.
Well, I will just say this. Alabama's going to hammer Texas A&M.
Saban's going to put one on his old disciple there.
He's going to send a message to everybody like, wow, you might have played Clemson tight, but you haven't played us.
I was going to say, Jimbo surprised me that they almost beat Clemson, or they came back against Clemson. But I don't know. I'm just more curious how Nick's going to act after the game to the sideline reporter. Is he going to be?
No, he's done.
He's done. He's going to be fine. Everything will be good there.
Yeah, he went after their Miss Taylor, and that was a bad move. That was a bad look for him. It is amazing. Everybody's running out of the same system. Everybody's running out of the same system, right? Same recruiting, same amount of scholarships, right? Same things. I'm not saying he doesn't spend a little bit more money doing a helicopter, man. Talking about Nick Saban. But his team, to me right now, is clearly better than everybody else in the country. It's about as lopsided as I can remember. I know it's early in the year. It just seems like that to me. Saw Clemson struggle a little bit against A&M. Ohio State's got – it's just a feel that I have because I know Nick Saban told somebody that I know down here this is the best team he's had. He's won national championships. He's told people this is the best team he's had.
Wow. And he's got the quarterback this
year. You're going,
year.
Who are these guys, right?
Yeah.
Who are the guys that didn't turn pro? Who are they? So, yeah, anyway, we got all that stuff. Got a lot more to get to. Ira Winderman's going to join us. Speaking of Dwayne Wade and Mr. Waiters and all the rest of those guys, the whole guard situation and team is Miami Heat getting set to, can you believe that, Media Days Monday? They'll be starting in Boca.
Panthers are practicing. Heat are coming.
Jeez. Panthers are going to have a nice team, too.
They should. They should not only make the playoffs, they should be talking about making a run in the playoffs.
Yeah, I agree. That's a good, good, talented team that Dale Talon's put together. Radio.com. Radio.com. All right, welcome back. It's time to bring in Ira Winderman. Miami Heat getting all set for camp. We got media day, I believe, Monday. Tuesday, they'll be practicing up in Boca. And a lot of news coming out. Dwayne Wade, one more year on his 10-minute social media. We'll get into all that stuff and letting everybody know. And now we find out Deion Waiters is not healed and not going to be ready to go from his ankle surgery. Man, Ira, we got a lot of stuff going on. Good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Joe, and probably better than the Heat front office is at the moment, considering they gave a four-year, $52 million contract to a player they knew had injuries, and now it looks like they won't be able to cash in on two of the first 4 years because of Deion's further setbacks.
Oh, all right. So what's this do for Dwayne Wade coming back and the farewell tour? All of a sudden, he gets a bigger role with Deion out?
I mean, obviously, everyone's going to have to move one step up. And I do wonder if that's a possibility now. With the light early season schedule and plenty of time off, maybe just slot Dwayne in there. I don't know if that's the best long-term answer because this team is still not built to win this year. They're built to sort of look toward the future. So I still think you got to explore Tyler Johnson, Josh Richardson, maybe even Derrick Jones Jr. a little bit more. But what yesterday did was allow the Heat to present good news. Dwayne is officially back. Here's a picture of him signing. And then about an hour later, but Deion Waiters won't be ready for the start of camp. For a team that hasn't had much offseason news, even when there's been good news, there's also been sort of bleh kind of news.
All right, Ira, tell me how the Heat are better this year. Why do you go into a season, and you want to walk into it with optimism, as a Heat fan and say, okay, this is why we're going to be better? Because to me, it looks like the same.
Because the East is weaker?
Well, no, I don't think the East is weaker at all. As a matter of fact, I would look at it the other way. I'd say Boston with Hayward and Kyrie Irving now might be more of the potential colossus than LeBron was at the end in Cleveland. I think Toronto with Kawhi Leonard is an upgrade on DeMar DeRozan, so they're better. I think Philadelphia with their growth and now Joel Embiid healthy, they're better. So I don't think it's that. I think it's to sort of put it on my futureheat.com, please give me a job cap. I would look at it this way. I think you're talking more internal growth from within. Can players make the next step? Look, I would find it hard to believe that Hassan Whiteside could have a worse season than last year. So the hope is that he steps up. The hope is that Justice Winslow, he showed us, Dave, a little bit in the playoffs what he's potentially capable of doing. Can he take the next step? Can Josh Richardson, the new contract, take the next step? That we're going to be sold all season on growth from within. The word all offseason has been continuity. Let's get everyone back together. The problem is the continuity is not going to be there because not only is Deion Waiters not ready, I'm not so sure that James Johnson, coming off his sports hernia, will be 100% at the start of the season. So I think, Dave, if you're looking for a reason why will the Heat be better, I think they're going to try to sell, and I guess we will judge for ourselves, the old internal growth and growth from within.
Ira, you know it's been weird. We just realized last couple of months, Hassan Whiteside's been really quiet. What's going on? I don't follow social media, but
well, that's
has he been active? Or
I almost wish you did for this reason. Something really interesting happened at the start of season, at the start of the offseason. A ton of Heat players, Bam Adebayo, a bunch of other guys, were posting workout videos. Hey, we're out here, we're working. And all of a sudden, Hassan started posting videos. I didn't realize I had to chronicle my daily activities. And he has been posting every single day, being in the Heat weight room with Bill Foran, the former strength and conditioning coach, now a consultant, being out on the court, working out with UD, running track. So Hassan's letting people know,
wow,
I'm here and I'm ready to go. That's good, Joe. I think that's encouraging, except for this reason. I never doubted Hassan Whiteside's work ethic. I always thought it was there. I always thought he appreciated what he can do. But I need to see it on the court. There's all the off-season stuff that looks good, the pretty Instagram and Snapchat videos. But is he going to have that same motor during the season? And, Joe, it's back to where we were at the end of the season. You have Hassan, but you also have Olynyk. You also have Bam Adebayo. You also have James Johnson. Will the minutes be there? Hassan Whiteside has to sort of grab the bull by the horns and make it to Eric Spoelstra. You can't afford to take me out of the game. That's the question I have about him. Does he have that mentality when the clock is running?
So how does he do that? Because that, to me, I'm going to be writing that media day, December, sure, January, next March. How does Whiteside change the narrative of, look, he's not playing in the fourth quarter?
You know what? He makes you change the narrative. He plays so well in the first three quarters with such a motor in the first three quarters that, Dave, you'll go back to the columns you were writing before he fell off and when you were asking, why isn't Hassan out there? Why is the guy that had the double-double by the end of the first quarter not playing at the end? Now, if Eric Spoelstra and Pat Riley want to give you strategical reasons, the other team went small, the game is changing, that's all well and good. But I think, Dave, it's going to be the eye test. Hassan Whiteside hasn't passed, I think you would agree, over the last couple of months of last season, certainly in the playoffs, the eye test of he deserves to be out there. He needs to play with that relentless motor. That's what made him so much fun in his first 2 years when he was getting triple-doubles and saying no one does it with blocks. I think if we look back at most of the times when Eric Spoelstra didn't play Hassan last season, we can go, oh, okay, I can understand that. He had guys who were more efficient, Kelly Olynyk, who were playing harder, Bam Adebayo. It's really all on, you know, Hassan. People say players get fat with contracts. I don't think that was the case with Hassan, but he controls the narrative. And you know what? If he controls the narrative, then it falls back on the Heat front office. Why did you use your last lottery pick, your most recent one on a center? Why did you make your last major free agent signing outside of the Heat on a big man in Kelly Olynyk? Why did they create this issue? I think Hassan's best move would be to put that glare back on the front office and saying, hey, I'm still here. I always was here.
Give me good numbers for Hassan Whiteside, for you.
Okay, that's two things, Joe. I like the fact that you want them. I would say, Hassan, if you can give me 14 and 10, 14 and 12 would be fine. I don't need the offense. But it's not the numbers. It's the eye test. It's watching a Heat game and saying, Hassan Whiteside played hard last night. I think a lot of this stuff is intangible because everyone's an equal on this roster. Just Hassan or Goran or even Dwayne could be as likely to be the Heat leading scorer in a game. I don't think that matters. I think the fact is, do you come out of every game and say this? Hassan Whiteside played hard. As a matter of fact, I'll throw this to you, Dave. What percentage of games last season, when you watched, would you say that you could say to yourself after the game, Hassan Whiteside played hard?
Yeah, to me, you struck the nerve earlier in what you said. Hassan Whiteside was fun his first year and a half, and it turned into a uncomfortable, awkward, disagreeable story in the last year or so. And you're right. You didn't see the Whiteside. You read the body language of a guy who really wasn't happy with what was going on.
And Dave, as you know, when guys are injured, and you see this, and maybe they don't want to talk about their injuries, when the knee isn't right, when he had that bone bruise the first game of the season, you can't feel another player's pain. So you have to assume, okay, if the Heat said at the end of the year that the reasoning, it really was weird when Eric Spoelstra spoke about last season's opener, well, Hassan bruised his knee in that first game and he missed all the time, he was never the same. Okay, let's take that at face value. But this can't be like Deion Waiters' ankle. If the knee is not right now, 1 year after initially sustaining the injury, then the knee's never going to be right. So if you can move past all that, if all of Hassan's workout videos are in a player at 100%, then I think he 1,000% controls the narrative. I think it's on him. He needs to make Eric Spoelstra feel very uncomfortable about what Eric Spoelstra does next.
Ira, how are you with Hassan Whiteside? How are things? You guys good right now, or where
you know,
are you?
It's funny because when I post stuff or whatever and I don't point out how he's working or something like that, I will get a little snide something on the side there. So I am very curious to see what the reaction is. I think this weared on Hassan, all the criticism in the offseason. Miami Heat fans fell in love with Hassan for those first 2 years. He was an irresistible force. And I think like any player, they might say they don't read and they don't hear. Hassan's the opposite. Hassan will tell you, question number two and ask Ira at SunSentinel.com. Why do you say that? So he pays attention to everything. So I think it's just a matter of now, can everyone move past that? Is it capable to have a fresh start?
Yeah. All right. Well, listen, Hassan Whiteside, it will be interesting to see what UD and Dwayne and all the rest of them can do with them. What Dwayne's going to look like, is he look close to what he gave you last year when he came back? And it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun to watch. Ira, thank you so much. I'll see you in a little while, man. Thank you.
It'll be interesting, Joe. Thanks so much.
Ira Winderman from the Sun Sentinel. Just bring it. Ira sound like
he's
he had
ready.
About 42
he's,
cups
he
of coffee
is ready.
This morning.
It's like midseason form for Ira.
Ira,
you know?
Got up and just started firing.
And when he's firing, no one can keep up with him. He
just gets
a lot of
going.
Meat on the bone.
He did throw out the 14 and 12, and then he went, wait
he
a second.
He did. That was
I
your...
want to see effort. A little shot. Right. A little shot at the 14 and 12. Stop looking at stats. Look at effort, jerky. All right. You're right. All right. Anyway, we got more stuff. Hey, we got to check in. DQ, you about ready to come back and check in on the Kendall Toyota and
Let's
West Contend Toyota text line 56022. I should know it by heart. 56022. We'll be back with that in a second.
Radio.com.
All right, welcome back, and good morning to everybody out there. We're going to continue on. I know we got text messages coming in on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line at 56022. DQ, what do you got for us?
All right, so
keep it clean, please.
The big UM versus FIU game this week. People want to know if FIU can cause a turnover against the Hurricanes. Will they bring out their own version of the turnover chain?
I'm guessing they won't.
I wish they would. I would love it.
It would be interesting. By the way, everybody, I think UM's put pressure on everybody around the country to do something when they get a takeaway
now. Look how dumb Florida State looks. That Dora
look
the
bad.
Explorer backpack they put on their players.
It looked really, really bad. Miami jumped out on this, became a great marketing and recruiting tool. And I just think everybody's trying to come up with these things and lunch pail and I don't know, man.
You wouldn't be. You wouldn't want Butch to try to have a turnover chain or turnover bracelet or something.
I don't think it's a good idea, because if you do it after you get it, even if UM turns it over a couple of times and you lose them by four touchdowns,
wouldn't look good.
Doesn't look good.
Think about how happy the FIU crowd would be, though, in the stands celebrating the turnover chain for the Panthers.
Yeah, no. Look, there's a chance UM could turn the ball over, a good hit or a bad throw, and you got yourself a takeaway. But
it's got to happen at the right time. You can't be down. You got to be winning or right there, right?
Or tight in the fourth quarter, or hanging around there. What else you got?
All right, so thoughts on Eric Dickerson and a couple of other Hall of Famers possibly boycotting the Hall of Fame induction ceremony.
Actually, I'm glad you brought that up. I didn't bring it up this morning. It's fine that they want to be taken care of if they're talking on behalf of all the great players, but it's got to be everybody, number one, all former players, no matter how long they've played. And second of all, next time you decide to do something like that, why don't you let the other Hall of Famers know about it too? You just look stupid.
Jerry Rice and others are coming out saying they hadn't heard about this. We didn't sign off on it.
I think there's a bunch of Hall of Famers with the Dolphins that didn't hear anything about it. So what are you going to do? Like, if you're going to do that, why don't you make sure everybody in the Hall of Fame's aboard? And here's the problem. Here's a problem you have. Sounds great for Eric Dickerson, who's been kind of a disgruntled dude. There's a lot of former players that are working for teams that are Hall of Famers. A lot around the league. Good luck getting everybody to jump aboard on that. That's why you heard some guys going, wait a minute, Kurt Warner, NFL Network. Whoa, hey, hold on a second, man.
Yeah, and I think he's on the wrong side of this. That's not the place to – and I realize – when you're Eric Dickerson or any Hall of Famer, you have a limited options of things you can do. But I just don't think that's the place to.
I don't. And one other thing, I want players that are, whether they were great players or not great players and just had average careers, I want those guys to be taken care of with that stuff.
That's what matters. Exactly.
Eric Dickerson was very capable of making a lot of money with who he was. He's a great running back, and he can turn his personality on when he wants. He was very capable. He made
and
good
being in the Hall of Fame opens up another avenue to money for a lot of these guys.
But if you're injured and you can't get around and it's one of the great running backs that way, then I'm all for taking care of those guys. That should be the priority. What else you got there?
Someone says, Joe, settle down on the Dolphins. They've only beaten the lowly Titans and Jets so far.
Yeah, I don't think I'm too high, number one. We talked about this yesterday. They are 2-0, but it's hard to win. And by the way, Tennessee's going to beat a lot of teams. It'd just be Houston. Oakland's going to beat a lot of teams coming up here. The Jets are going to – they're going to win some games. They're too good not to. They got a lot of really good players. So I just say to everybody, I don't think I'm too high. When somebody says calm down, but I'm not going to apologize, nor are the Dolphins going to apologize that they're 2-0, Dave.
Yeah, I don't think you're up in the clouds, Joe. I don't think – I haven't heard that at all. And look, everybody's been around long enough for years with the Dolphins to not get too high right now. But look, the Jets crushed Detroit. And you went in, you know, on the road, and you just beat the Jets. As you mentioned, Tennessee beat Houston. There's no reason to say no. This is a very good start so far.
I want to say this. I think overall this team is a lot better than I thought it was going to be to start with. But the quarterback play's got to get better. Like, the quarterback needs to play better. He took some sacks last week. He shouldn't have taken. They're on him 100%. That offensive line played better than that. And he's had a chance to make some throws and hasn't made them. Missed a deep throw on an open receiver. He's got to play better from that standpoint. Ran great, ran the offense, disappointing.
I agree with you. To me, the physical play of the lines and the speed of the team, as I've mentioned, are the two things I'm surprised. But the offense had 17 points the first game, and they were set up for the others. And they were set up again last week by the defense. They need to take control of the situation more. And that gets to Tannehill. And you know, he's been okay through two games. But for them to have a good year, he's going to have to be better and okay.
But now let me just flip it around, because offense got to get a lot better and score better. Not going to keep winning with what they're doing. Defensively, I didn't think we'd give up just two touchdowns.
I'm surprised by the defense.
The first two games and making people kick field goals. They've been
unbelievable. And the turnovers that they've had.
Six turnovers, that's right. So that's been great. What else you got today there, DQ?
Someone said, we've been talking about Mike Tomlin this morning. Someone, Dave, mentioned how Tomlin interviewed for the Dolphins back in 2007. How's that for a punch in the gut on this fine Wednesday morning? Cam Cameron over Mike Tomlin, only in Miami.
we could do a whole show on decisions like that in the last 20 years. Right?
I will tell you one that we did that I was glad we didn't get, and everybody was salty. Remember Jeff Fisher was leaving?
Oh yeah, that turned out to be good, right?
He was leaving. Oh my God, we could have had him, but Ireland's here. He didn't want to work with Ireland, which I understand if you don't want to work with Ireland, because I don't think he's very good nor a good human being. But I will tell you this: I'm glad we didn't get him.
He came on the helicopter. Remember, he came in the helicopter into the Davy and the. Oh, it was big news. Jeff Fisher.
I can't work with this guy.
I could not understand at the time. I remember writing, "What's the attraction to Jeff Fisher?"
Did you really?
Yeah,
because a lot of people wanted Jeff
absolutely.
Fisher.
Absolutely, he's a proven winner. Well, he really wasn't a proven. He had one really good year long time ago in Tennessee.
If he gets another head coaching job, I would be really disappointed for not giving some new guy a shot. Because he has had his chance.
Buried his coaching career with the Rams, and what's happened since to Nick Foles, quarterback he couldn't win with, who just won the Super Bowl, by the way, and Jared Goff, who's his number one overall pick rookie, who's looking pretty like a decent quarterback right now.
You give him any credit, though, that he pulled all those guys? His group did draft that group. They just didn't get much out of them.
He didn't think they were any good, though. He didn't – and it came – no, he gets no credit for that.
They hit on three first-round picks right off the top, though. They hit on a defensive lineman, a running back, and a quarterback pretty damn well.
Didn't we do the whole helicopter treatment for Jim Harbaugh when Stephen Ross was flirting with him a little bit?
Yeah. We just had no shot on that.
No, there was no. To me, the number one.
Boy, did that strip. Oh, that was a mess.
God,
I just thought
about
Sperano.
That led to so many press conferences.
Yes, Sperano was still
press
the head
conference.
Coach.
Well, Sperano, after that, God bless his soul, he's no longer with us, but Tony shut down. Like, he came back because he had to do that press conference.
The press conference. Him, Steve Ross,
and then he went back
Ireland.
To his coaches, and he said, coaches and players, it's us against everybody. Front office. Everybody. It's just this team and screw everybody else.
That was a...
Oh, God, the planes were just a disaster. It was...
that
you
press conference
that
was
up,
one
man.
Of the more uncomfortable press conferences I've been in.
He got 1 year extension, though. Another
a
year
more
extension.
Money out of
he
it.
Got some more money, but it was... It had...
That
it
ended
had,
the relationship, Ireland and Sperano and Parcells... In Ireland, too. There were a lot of relationships that went in the toilet.
That's right.
There.
That was all a tight group when it started, and it ended all in Dallas together, and it just...
I tell you, Joe, to me,
was,
the worst
thing...
That
was one of the worst divorces we've ever had.
Beyond this side of the fence, and writing a column, and probably for you in a way, is meeting guys at low points of their careers with the Dolphins over the last 20 years or so. They're good guys, and you just meet them. I would like to meet guys on their way up or winning or whatever, you know, like when the Heat are winning titles, that's a lot of fun to be around. It's not so much fun to be around guys getting fired all the time with the Dolphins.
No. And the backstabbing.
Oh, the whole, when you're winning, everybody's together. We're winning together. When you're losing.
Oh, the whole thing with Joe Philbin and up in where you hear a comment, Ireland makes a comment. Dawn runs down to Joe. She's over-policing his interviews to make sure he says the right thing, tells him stuff. Oh,
he's got things written out to repeat. That was just uncomfortable all around.
We finally go to Jason. Go, Jason, she got to stop. It's embarrassing. Like, people are talking about you, bro. It's embarrassing. He's a grown-ass man. Let him talk. He's a grown-ass man. Let him act like a head coach and stop.
I mean, that was my point. If he is not trusted enough to just give a press conference.
If he can't do a daily press conference, that she's got to run over there and give him the eye on that's good or that's bad. Like, that's not her job. Do we hire somebody else in the organization? You got to trust your coaches to go in and do it. That was, those were weird days, man.
Okay, the number one most embarrassing moment of past time, not even embarrassing, just you'd want back, Tom Brotts, director of personnel, walking into Dave Wannstedt's and pounding the table to draft Drew Brees. You only get so many chances once a decade to take a guy like this. Nope, we're going to take the Wisconsin cornerback. So, but we don't need to relive them all, right? We don't need to do this show.
We could write a pretty good book over the last 20 years.
How not to run a franchise?
Of things that have happened. Well, Cam Cameron, he's got to go to the front.
Yeah, he's number one.
He goes out to the press and goes out to the fan base.
I forgot.
And says, you're going to love Ted Ginn's whole family. By the way, Ted Ginn's still playing?
Ted Ginn's had a very nice career.
Ted Ginn is very no longer nice a bust. Take Ted right out of the bust club. He's not a bust. By the way, I'm really curious to see what's going to happen with Devontae Parker. Everything seems to be okay at the wide receiver position without him. I'd like to see that big target back out there playing, Dave. What's your take? A lot of guys are over him. Like, it's done. I'm done.
No, they need him. They need him. They need his size. They need his athleticism now. Can he deliver that?
Where's his head right now? He could have played last week, and they said, no, we'll give you another week. And he's like, what?
Doesn't that scare you a little if you're—
No, we're fine. We got our everything in.
So that either is going to do one of two things. Either he's going in the toilet or he's going to say, I'm going to show you. And I haven't seen that I want to show you spirit in him, in his career.
Dave, I hope you're right. And I was thinking the same thing. I hope he goes, all right, is this what you can do? I'm going to show you.
Radio.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.